Hello and welcome to our Around the Nation podcast for the week of September 17th, 2007. I'm Pat Coleman.
And I'm Keith McMillan.
And we're here with our take on week three of the Division III football season. Keith and I are coming to you from Dulles International Airport after a weekend in Oregon where we saw that the Linfield and Hardin-Simmons offenses certainly firing on all cylinders. Linfield coming away with a 52-42 win, had a 26-7 lead early, midway late in the second quarter. Hardin-Simmons started to come back and it kind of went back and forth.
Yeah, it really turned into a roller coaster type game. You know, Hardin-Simmons actually kind of controlled the first quarter, even though they just had a 7-0 lead. And then it got a little crazy there in the second quarter and got even crazier in the third quarter. They went, you know, just back and forth scoring and showed really how far ahead both teams' offenses are of their defenses.
It looks like Hardin-Simmons finally settled on a quarterback. The first week against Wisconsin Lacrosse, they rotated three guys, Justin Feaster, Clint Bricker, and Jordy Bernhardt. On Saturday, Justin Feaster played the first quarter. Clint Bricker came out in the second quarter and really just had nothing, basically.
Yeah, he went 0-for-7 with one interception. And Feaster, really, when he got his chances to play, you know, even sometimes when the passing game wasn't there, he pulled it down, ran, he made some things happen. I thought he showed a lot of moxie, and I think, I know that Coach Keeling said he's the guy from now on.
Trevor Scherer had numbers unlike any Linfield quarterback not named Brett Elliott, and we talked to him after the game about having the starting job from the get-go.
Knowing it's my job, knowing it's my team, kind of, you know, it's a different feeling to get out there and lead the guys, and I don't know, a lot more confident coming in, but I mean, I've been confident. I was confident last year too. I mean, it is nice knowing that it's kind of your team and your team to lead. So,
meanwhile, Keith, we saw both defenses had difficulty stopping good offenses, especially in space.
But yeah, the two teams combined for almost 1,200 yards of offense, and Hardin-Simmons defensively, no sacks, no interceptions, not even any passes broken up. So you know they were out there on defense, but they really weren't making a lot of good things happen.
And just a great weekend in Oregon, a great atmosphere at Linfield. To thank everybody who made Keith and my first trip to the West Coast or to Oregon for Division III football a successful one and a memorable one. Elsewhere, some expected results, and let's run them down. First of all, second-ranked Wisconsin Whitewater loses 26-16 at Division II St. Cloud State. Normally not a problem, but you'd have to think that a Warhawk team that fires on all cylinders would fare a little better.
Yeah, well, Whitewater fumbled three times and threw an interception. St. Cloud State turned that into 17 points. Did get a good game out of Justin Beaver, 24 carries for 177 yards.
First loss of the season for Whitewater. Number 9, Springfield, they're in the midst of a tough stretch, and they fall at Montclair State 33-30.
Yeah, they did get their four touchdowns from Chris Sharp. He rushed for all four of those, but only 142 yards on 31 carries, and they only had 285 yards of total offense. Again, when we talk about Springfield, we're trying to figure out if they can do something on offense, whether it's passing or getting some other running backs involved besides Chris Sharp, who technically not the running back, quarterback. But we did have a feeling that Springfield would have a little bit of trouble in this stretch.
Yeah, they start with the entirety of September on the road before they go home to Benedum Field. Of course, over the off season, new field turf put in at Springfield's home stadium, and spending the first 5 weeks on the road kind of ensured that just in case there was any problems, they would have a clean set of turf to play on. They are certainly, I'm sure, looking forward to getting home in September, but of course, or in October, but there's a little bit of September to go.
Yeah, it doesn't even get any easier after playing Union last week and playing at Montclair State this week, or at Alfred this coming Saturday.
A big game in the Empire 8. There was a shootout in Pella, Iowa this weekend as Central and Luther combined for nearly 800 yards of total offense in a game that Central ended up winning 44-36.
Well, if you go back to last year, Dutch had to go into overtime to pull out a 19-13 win at Decorah, and in five of the team's past six meetings, the game's been decided by a touchdown or less. So even when you look at Central being the team to beat in the IIAC, and Luther has always had that offense, and I think a lot of observers thought that it could be a tough game.
Central's won 20 games in a row in the regular season, but the Dutch have really been a cardiac team. Doesn't seem to come easily for them the last couple of years.
No, it doesn't, and that kind of speaks to the difficulty of that conference, and I think it's going to be a lot of the same this year, especially when you look at how Wartburg has gotten off to a good start, how Coe has gotten off to a good start. It's going to be another year, I think, for if Central earns it, they're really going to have to earn it.
Keep an eye on running back Vance Schering. He sat out last week at Hope and had just 11 carries this week before departing again. A crowd of more than 4,800 in Newport News, Virginia watched Christopher Newport's defense struggle to stop the opponent's ground game for the second week in a row, and Salisbury ended up beating the 20th-ranked Captains 35-21.
Yeah, well, Salisbury had 3 rushers for over 80 yards, and Valdez Morris, 7 carries for 104 yards, so making the most of each of his touches. Salisbury, of their 433 yards, 400 of those came on the ground.
Salisbury started getting on the radar last week. Week 1, they beat Albright. Last week, they really handled Brockport State on the road. This is a big win for Salisbury, trying to get back into playoff mode, which they haven't been since Dustin Johnson graduated.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you start with that kind of schedule, you know, one of two things can happen. You can, you know, fall to those bigger teams, or you can sort of prove yourself and build a little momentum in the early part of the season. And now, you know, we're looking at that Salisbury-Wesley game that we weren't sure if that was going to be a great game. Now we're probably in the mode where we think it will be.
That game coming up in Dover, Delaware at the end of October. Now, the most surprising result in the top 25 has to be Ithaca losing at Hartwick. It's been a few years since Hartwick did anything in the Empire 8 shoot. They have not been representing the Empire 8 very well.
Well, they got a great day by last year's leading rusher in Division 3, Lindy Cray. And I think for Ithaca, it really puts them in a tough situation because of the way the Empire 8 has been so far, with Alfred, Springfield, and St. John Fisher all being right there as contenders. Ithaca's now in a tough situation to have that early loss.
Hobart bounced back nicely from its Week 2 overtime disappointment, stopping a 2-point conversion by Carnegie Mellon with a 1:23 left to hold on for a 27-26 win. You like the move to go for two like that?
It's always risky, but if you're Carnegie Mellon, it makes sense. Hobart has a good kicker, Dominic Ancona, and Carnegie Mellon had missed a point after earlier in the game. The thing about Carnegie Mellon, too, is they don't have that automatic qualifier to shoot for, so they need all the wins they can pile up. And, you know, in this situation, they may look back later in the season if they come up a win short or a little bit short of the playoffs and maybe wish they hadn't gone for two.
Carnegie Mellon 10-0 last year to qualify for the playoffs, battling for one of what are probably 3 pool B bids in the Division III playoffs. They were 2-for-9 passing, not including that failed 2-point conversion. Some quick hits from the first 3 weeks of action now. Muhlenberg unscored on in their 2 games, beat College Union New Jersey, beat Union. Is Union in trouble?
Well, they haven't scored for the past 6 quarters. They got to get that right.
Wesley, they keep on finding ways to win. Friday night at Widener, 31-17, and another big night for Larry Beavers. They got to be happy to have him back.
Yeah, well, he had an 89-yard kick return for a touchdown. He also had that kick return and a touchdown to start the second half against North Carolina Wesleyan. Beavers also had 3 catches for 113 yards and a touchdown.
Schatz, Jason Schatz, a quarterback, just 10 of 23, but 233 yards and 3 touchdowns. They have Montclair State coming up next week. Wilkes started off with a really tough early schedule for them, 0-3 against the NJAC, but more importantly, I think out of that game, it appears Rowan may have found its quarterback. Joe Rankin started the game 4-for-17 passing and was eventually replaced. The backup led Profs to the 14-13 win.
Yeah, well, freshman Tim Haggerty ran for a touchdown, threw for a touchdown. They've described him as a Doug Flutie type, and for Rowan, they're really going to need good offensive play because the NJAC is so tough this year, with Montclair State obviously looking pretty good so far, Kane having the firepower to really be tough, and you never know what you're going to get out of Cortland State, William Patterson, some of the other teams.
Cortland State with a bit of a surprising loss at Brockport State without Alex Smith at quarterback. Capital sophomore receiver Evan Blake caught 11 passes for 304 yards as the Crusaders routed Wilmington 40-0. But more surprising, more noteworthy, Derek Alexander, the All-American receiver last year, out again, and it seems he might be for a while. If he can't return, what kind of season is Capital looking at in the OAC?
Well, I think the interesting thing about the game is not so much for Capital scoring 40, but holding another team to zero. Remember their win against Wittenberg, they won 13-0. So now that's 2 straight shutouts. They had most of their experience back from a top 5 team last year on defense. And I think if they're going to win this year, they might have to do it with defense, especially if Derek Alexander's out.
Looking ahead at some of the big games coming up next week, of course, Widener has another big test at Rowan on Friday night. That is a big local rivalry, South Jersey versus south of Philly, that these teams have never quite gotten together the past couple of years. They're finally getting on the field.
Well, the great thing about it is you got Division III teams playing other Division III teams. In previous years, Rowan would have to go and schedule some 1AAs or some teams out of Connecticut and really couldn't get a full schedule. And you had these teams right across the river for them to schedule. And finally, Widener and Rowan put it together. And, with the MAC losing the teams that they lost, it actually opened up their schedules for Wilkes to play all the games they played, for Montclair and for Rowan. All these teams that now fill out their schedules with good local rivalries.
We'll begin to get some clarity perhaps in the Ohio Athletic Conference as Ohio Northern hosts John Carroll. Those are 2 of the 5 teams that seem to be, or 2 of the 4 teams that seem to be in contention to finish runner-up to Mount Union.
Well, yeah, you need to have that clarity because there are 4 teams that are really capable of not just finishing second in Mountain Union, but earning that playoff berth and maybe moving on in the playoffs. Teams have been successful in the past doing that. So that's a really important race to watch, even though you pretty much chalk up the OAC to Mountain Union every year.
Just one time since playoff expansion has the OAC's runner-up lost in the playoffs to anybody but Mountain Union. Another big game, St. John Fisher at Ithaca. Ithaca's got to be licking its wounds a little bit. They don't have any time to rest, and I wonder if they were looking ahead just a little bit.
Maybe they were, but now they got a big opportunity to turn around and, coming off a loss to Hartwick, have opportunity to turn around and make some noise nationally and get themselves back into the Empire 8 race.
Some other games of interest coming up this weekend. Wisconsin-Eau Claire unbeaten is at number 3, Wisconsin Whitewater. Hope travels to 9th rank Wheaton. 17th rank Wartburg goes to Luther. Number 19 Wabash is at Ohio Wesleyan. And Delaware Valley is at number 25 Salisbury. Outside of the top 25, some distance between Huntington and Adrian as the teams meet in Michigan. Unbeaten Pacific Lutheran hosts Chapman. Hampton Sydney is at Guilford. And for the first non-Stag Bowl game in Salem Stadium, Averett plays Washington and Lee under the lights.
And don't forget, for more around the nation, check out Keith McMillan's column every Thursday right here on D3Football.com. We'll be back next week.